I once heard a story about a young woman who was looking for a church for her wedding. She nearly drove her fiancé and her mother crazy, scouting out just about every church around town, looking for just the right church, the one with the prettiest stained glass windows, the one with just the right length of the center aisle, the one most accessible to the interstate and hotels. She looked for scenes for wedding photos, parking. It was a big deal for her. And finally, she decided on the church location. She ended up getting married in an old cinder block rectangular building with fluorescent lights and a small electric organ. There were a few homemade felt banners that the youth group had made back in the 60s and 70s still up on the walls. Why that choice in wedding location? Well, she realized something especially important, that this was the church where she had been baptized, where she had gone through confirmation class, the church she had met her husband, where her grandparents' memorial services had been held. This was where she had come to know something of the love and grace of God, and she finally realized that, yes, this was her holy ground. It was the place where she experienced the living body of Christ in her life, where she encountered and experienced the power and Spirit of God in the most important seasons of her life. If you remember, Moses stood barefoot on holy ground when he spoke with God. There are sacred spaces, sacred moments in our lives when we've recognized the presence and the power of God, experienced the living body of Christ, the church, and we knew it. It had been one experience after the other since Jesus showed up in the disciples' lives. 3 years of journeying with Jesus, his lessons and his prayers, the miracles, the fishing trips, a parade, a cross, a tomb, and a stone, and then resurrection. Scripture tells us that the risen Jesus surprisingly appeared to the disciples on several occasions. And so once again, the risen Jesus appears to the disciples. The disciples have almost come to believe that he really is alive, but there's still some doubt and fear. The Lord recognizes their doubt and fear in the midst of their joy, and he shows them his crucifixion wounds and even eats a piece of grilled fish with them. 40 days had passed since the stone had been pushed away from Jesus' tomb. 40 days since the resurrection, and now it's time for Jesus to return to heaven. So Jesus joins the disciples and tells them that he will soon send the Holy Spirit to them. And when the Holy Spirit comes, they will be his witnesses to the ends of the earth. And after he has spoken these words to them, after he's given them the assurance of his ever-abiding presence, he is lifted up before them and carried by a cloud into the heavens. Now, that's a closing scene to a ministry on earth. Before their very eyes, Jesus rises to heaven with the promise that the Holy Spirit will come upon them, that they will receive power from up on high. Instead of Jesus being bodily present with them, they will become his body, the presence of Jesus Christ with the world. Instead of his words to guide them, they will speak his word for him. Instead of his physical appearance, they will have his presence and be his presence in the world. And with the power of the Holy Spirit, they will indeed realize Jesus' promise in Matthew 28. Do you remember how it goes? We call it the Great Commission. The great command that Jesus gives: go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. The message of salvation is no longer limited to just Israel. Now the message of salvation reaches to all nations. They will make disciples everywhere. They will make it broadly known that after our repentance comes God's forgiveness, then the gift of eternal life. Church, that's the gospel, full of pardons and forgiveness and promises. In the book of Acts, Luke concludes the ascension story by telling us what happened next. These were his last words, he writes. As they watched, he was taken up and disappeared in a cloud. They stood there staring into the empty sky, and suddenly two men appeared in white robes, and they said, "You Galileans, why do you just stand here looking up at an empty sky?" This very Jesus who was taken up from among you to heaven will come as certainly and mysteriously as he left. And with that, the disciples returned to Jerusalem. And upon entering the city, they went back to where they gathered in their sacred space. And Luke tells us they were of one accord and devoted themselves to prayer. Peterson says they were bursting with joy. It's a realistic vision, a realistic foretelling of the church of Jesus Christ. I can only imagine the effect the ascension must have had on those disciples. Well, imagine seeing Jesus physically rise into the heavens with your own eyes. It's no wonder they were of one accord, bursting with joy, and they devoted themselves to prayer. And they would be his witnesses, his presence on earth, growers of the kingdom, growers of the family of God. Liz Higgs, author of Bad Girls of the Bible, tells a good story of when her young daughter was baptized. Like many, after getting married, Liz had drifted away from the church. Even the birth of her daughter hadn't brought them back to the church and her faith. It wasn't until her mother's death and the careful attention of the church in that season of loss that Liz decided it was time for them to reconnect with God. Liz's daughter, Lillian, was 4 when she was baptized, and the pastor met with them to talk about baptism. And he told the little girl that baptism reminds us that Jesus is in our hearts and lives within us. Well, everything went fine until after the baptism. And as they gathered in the narthex, Lillian seemed troubled and refused to talk. And her mother bent down and said, "What's wrong, honey?" And with her lips pushed together and her jaw clenched, Lillian replied, "Nothing. I just have to keep my mouth closed so Jesus won't get out." She was fearful that if she opened her mouth too wide, Jesus might escape. And yet, the opposite is true, isn't it? In baptism, we are marked and claimed and embraced into the family of God. The kingdom on earth grows. Baptism reminds us that Jesus' presence is within us, and we become his witnesses. Like the disciples at the ascension, by virtue of our baptism, we are sent into the world where we live and work and play as a representation of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, because we are his witnesses. The disciples knew Jesus had ascended into heaven to be with the Father. They also believed that they were still connected to Jesus. Through his appearances to them after the resurrection, appearing in and disappearing out of their daily lives and opening their minds to Scripture, the disciples believed. They believed. They were connected to Jesus. It must have been a confusing, scary time for them. Jesus had been crucified. He'd been crucified for preaching the message of God's love, and now he leaves and he tells them to finish the work that he's begun. You'd think that they would be afraid, apprehensive. But I don't think they were. Not now. The historical account tells us that just a few days later at Pentecost, the Holy Spirit indeed was given to the disciples, and they powerfully went into the world as Jesus' witnesses, connected to Jesus, connected to God. And no matter what the future held for them, they were okay. For even though they didn't know what the future held, they knew who held the future. And that was good enough. That sense of being connected to Jesus empowered them to face persecution and suffering, knowing that they could trust that God was on their side. They had the promise of the power and the strength of the Holy Spirit. Years ago, I heard that Albert Einstein's wife was asked if she understood her husband's theory of relativity. And her response was, "No, but I know my husband, and that's good enough." The disciples knew Jesus. They knew that he could be trusted with their lives. When you and I face life, the difficulties and the troubles in life, when life deals us a bum hand or the future looks bleak and difficult, hopeless, we need something to hold on to. Or maybe we need something to hold on to us. We need to be connected to God. We need the strength of the presence and the Spirit of Christ with us. There's a story about a pastor who let his friend Pat talk him into a bike race. It wasn't just any bike race, but one that included a mile and a half, grueling, set your thighs on fire, climb up a steep hill bike race. And the hill in that bike race was named Killer Diller. It always lived up to its hype. The pastor knew its reputation, but he signed up anyway because his buddy Pat, a well-seasoned biker, convinced him that he could make it. But the pastor and novice biker almost didn't make it. It wasn't long into the race that the real bikers left the less experienced bikers lagging behind, and soon into Killer Diller, the pastor was huffing and puffing, and by the time he was halfway to the top, his thighs were on fire, and he was having less than a pleasant thought about his friend Pat. And that's when the pastor felt a push, a hand pressing on the small of his back. And the pastor twisted his head and he looked. It was Pat. He had already completed the race. Expecting his pastor's exhaustion, Pat hurried up the hill, dismounted his bike, and ran back to give the pastor a hand. Literally, he ran alongside his pastor and began pushing the exhausted pastor up the hill. And when the pastor noticed it was his buddy pushing him, Pat said to him, "I told you that you would make it. I came to make sure that you did." After Jesus ascended into heaven, the Holy Spirit, the promised power, became the presence of God, the Spirit of Christ within us. Here's the good news for today. The same power that pushed the stone away from Jesus' tomb is the same power that comes to us to help us make it. The same Lord Jesus who welcomed the little children into his arms, the same Lord Jesus who healed the lepers and opened the eyes of the blind, the same Lord Jesus who offered himself up on the cross for our salvation, now sits at the right hand of God the Father, praying for us. You can trust Jesus with your days. You can trust Jesus with your life. We can depend upon God to care for us as any loving and caring parent cares for their cherished child. Church, may the living of our lives crown Jesus Christ as the Lord of hope. May we know that Jesus Christ has blessed us with power from on high. May we claim that we are blessed with the Spirit of Christ to help us for the living of these days and to be the body of Christ in the world where we live and work and play. Children of God, you have been chosen. You have been marked and sealed. You have been embraced into the family of God, and you have been blessed to be faithful witnesses. You have been blessed to be the church. You have been blessed to be the body of Christ, the Son of the living God.